listening to Your Practice Made Perfect, support, protection, and advice for practicing medical professionals, brought to you by SVMIC.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Your Practice Made Perfect. My name is Renee Tidwell and I'm going to be your host for today's episode. Today we're going to talk about the life cycle of an employee along with some common HR questions. We get quite a few questions regarding employees, things like how they're hired, to employee orientation, and even how to handle employee resignations. Here to walk us through the conversation is going to be SVMIC's own Steve Dickens. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
We always love having you, but before we get into our discussion today, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure. I've been in healthcare for almost 30 years now, which really seems kind of amazing. I started on the hospital and physician-owned medical practice side of things and spent about 15 years working with groups in a variety of capacities while I was doing that. Also was very involved with home care back during those days. But for the last 15 years, I've been here at SVMIC working in risk management and medical practice services, where I'm now the vice president of the department and have worked with lots of groups across our territory and across the country during that time. Have been very active in the Medical Group Management Association as well.
Sounds like you've got a lot of interesting experience. Let's just jump right on in. I know we all see a lot in the news, especially the last couple of years, a lot of information about the labor market, personnel, the great resignation, silent resignations, lots about hiring, losing people, how do you retain people? It just feels like never ending. It seems like it's been going on for a while. Can you give us some insight on how that's affected medical practices specifically?
Well, sure. You commented that I've probably seen a few interesting things, and I've definitely probably, when I think about the stories from my career, almost all of them that stick with you are the HR-related ones. There are some things you just can't make up, but the last few years have been like nothing that we've ever really seen in the course of my career. And what we've seen as coming out of the COVID pandemic, if we can even say that, has really affected practices pretty dramatically. In the beginning, when everyone was concerned and afraid of being exposed to COVID, and we saw facilities were shutting down procedures and doing only those things that were absolutely necessary, it really affected every aspect of healthcare. And in particular, physician offices, patients were afraid to go in. And if they didn't have to, they didn't. And, you know, this kind of created a cascade effect in that, you know, it impacted the revenue stream of the physician. So obviously they had no money coming in, they had no work for their employees, and they simply weren't able to support their staff full time. And that left the staff with the option of either, you know, being laid off or having to find other employment. And many of the lower paying employees in a practice realized that they were able to make more money drawing unemployment because of all the COVID subsidies the federal government had put onto the state. And so suddenly you had people like, wow, this is pretty great here. And of course, that did not last forever. And as we saw, practices were able to access some of the federal relief funds and were beginning to have patients who were coming back in. We obviously, and all of this created a need for patients who had delayed care longer than they should have. They were hoping to bring their employees back, but what we found was that a lot of those people did not come back.
Right. They'd found something else or,
You're absolutely right. You know, a lot of them found other jobs. Some of them, depending on the state that they were in and their situation, might have still been drawing unemployment. You know, we saw an increase in retirements. We saw suddenly this new influx of people who were going to be an entrepreneur and start their own business. But a lot of people also realized that when they gave up the expense of commuting and childcare and simply what it costs to make sure you're dressed and fed when you work outside the home.
The cost to work.
Yeah, there is a cost to work, and people don't think about that, but they realized that the offset for the stress and the effort of all of that versus what they were doing now, that they wanted to stay home. And in many cases, these were the people who maybe were the lower wage earner in their family. So they were living off of what their spouse was making. And so we had a group of people who didn't want to come back to work. But as the economy was opening back up, people needed to hire back all of these people that they had laid off. Well, we had a smaller pool of people, which drove up competition, which drove up the prices, the wages these people were able to command, which sounds great for an employee until you think about what it does to the rest of us. Out in the industry, we've seen companies simply just raise their prices to offset this. Well, that's great in theory, but again, we're seeing that play out across our economy now, but you can't do that in a medical practice. Doctors don't just get to decide, oh, this is what I'm going to charge today for this. Their prices are set by the insurance companies. So you add on to the fact that they have no real capacity or ability to change what they're charging on top of the administrative burdens, on top of the fact that they are paying more for their supplies. We are still facing proposed cuts from the federal government for the Medicare program. They just simply aren't able to compete right now. So it really is a very different dynamic.
It feels like it's that way across the board, but adding that layer in about their prices being set, you know, that money has to come from somewhere.
It does. You're right. And any money that a practice spends comes out of what is paid to the physician and the practitioners for their professional services.
Right.
It's not a bottomless pot of money. So in order to pay their employees more, physicians have to make less.
Right. Well, it sounds like, you know, you've got this hiring process, you know, training, education. It sounds like there's this kind of cycle, life cycle of having an employee. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, absolutely. And there is a traditional cycle for an employee. And when we say the life cycle of an employee, what we're really referring to is the arc of their employment, the time that they are with someone. And some people will have many life cycles of employment with them. The day of seeing someone go to work in an organization and stay there for their entire career seems to be something of the past.
Right. I think we're seeing that kind of across the board. Can you talk a little bit about where does that cycle start?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people believe that the cycle starts when the employee reports for work. And it really starts much sooner than that. And that is especially true right now because of the competition that we are seeing to attract and retain employees. The cycle in a medical practice begins when the group decides we need another body. We need someone else. So it begins with this idea of, okay, what is the position? What is the job description? How are we going to recruit for that? And practices have really got to think about their recruiting strategy in a new light now. With the advent of social media and so many people having access to online resources, it's not as easy as putting an ad in the newspaper anymore, you know.
Nope.
And if you do, it's an online newspaper at that.
Okay, so Steve, once a practice has decided that they have a need, they have a need for a position, whether they've tried to, you know, rearrange some other workflow, processes, whatever the case is, talk us through the rest of the cycle. They've decided they want someone. Now what happens?
Okay. Well, again, as I said, it starts with the recruiting aspect of the process. And that means creating an accurate job description, something that hopefully would be attractive to would-be employees, and then figuring out how you're going to get that announced.
Right. How are you going to market it?
Yeah.
Right?
How are you going to market it? Are you going to use a recruiting firm, which can be very expensive and is out of the reach of most medical practices, at least for their regular staff? Are you going to go to online options, whether it's LinkedIn or Indeed or your local medical group management association is a wonderful resource a lot of times. But, you know, once you figure out how you're going to get the word out, we've seen a lot of groups who have been very successful with putting some type of program in place for their current employees, that if they refer a new employee who sticks, who makes it, that they get some sort of bonus for that. So, you know, it creates a vested interest there. But once we've done that, then we're going to move into the interview process. And I cannot emphasize enough how important it is that groups be very responsive and timely in interviewing. Remember, the employees or the would-be employees, the candidates, are really kind of in control right now As you look at it, it's their market. So they're probably talking to a lot of different people if they're looking for a job. So you want to make sure that you look at those resumes quickly, that you follow up quickly with a phone interview, with a virtual interview. If this is somebody you like, that you get them in quickly for an in-person interview and then be ready to make that offer. You know,
right.
we are hearing horror stories from practices that are going through this process and hiring them and people just ghost them. You know,
right.
you just thought that was a dating thing, but you really kind of have to look at this and that aspect some as well, too,
right.
that it is a dating. It is a courting of something. But then, you know, make those offers, get them in quickly. And then you move into, you know, the orientation and training phase. And we forget a lot of times, no matter how long someone may have worked professionally as an adult, anytime we start a new job, there are those questions we don't know. Do people eat lunch together? Do most people eat out? Do I bring my lunch? Where am I supposed to park? You know, what am I supposed to dress? Do we have a dress code here? Or all of those types of things. So, encourage groups to, you know, be prepared for that and be thinking ahead of what that employee needs. What type of professional ongoing education or staff development are you going to have for them? You know, things are changing. You want them to stay current in their job. You want to be talking to them, making sure that they understand any procedures they're helping with or any changes to billing
right.
or coding. And then really, as you move toward, you know, we've got them here, we've got them trained, we've got them ready, you got to make sure you keep them. And that's where it all comes down to culture and engaging them.
Right.
And hopefully, if you've created a culture where they feel a part of something, that they feel like they're contributing, they feel like they're being valued, they're being adequately compensated. I mean, let's be honest here.
That's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
It's so competitive.
It is. And you've got to pay people what they're worth. But the market really is driving that. And most people are feeling the impact of, you know, rising gas prices, inflation, all these other things. But you absolutely want to make sure that at this point that you're doing what it is that you need to do to keep them.
It sounds like, I feel like I'm hearing a lot of communication being key here, from communicating with the, you know, prospective employee in a timely manner, to making sure you're giving them information when they get there to feel comfortable, to keeping them engaged. A lot of that is just keeping the lines of communication open, it feels like, too.
Yeah, you know, when I look at the work that we do, communication is one of the most valuable qualities. It's one of the most important skills. You know, we talk about, you know, low health literacy patients who don't understand what they're supposed to do. And that really is all about communicating with them in terms that mean something to them. And the same is true with your employees. In a medical practice, you are employing people from all sorts of backgrounds, mm-hmm. all sorts of educational levels. We all are somewhat in tune at some level to what we see in the news, to what's going on. And people want to know what that means for where they work. They want
right.
to know what it means for them.
What do you feel like is the most crucial or overlooked aspect in this cycle?
I believe there are two significantly overlooked aspects. The first is the recruitment phase. Thinking about what it is that you want, what it is that you need. You want to create the image that this is a good place to work, this is a fun place to work, that the people who work here are happy. Again, you've got to be able to get them across the front door to even have any hope of them being there.
Right.
The second overlooked phase that is just equally as important is the retention phase. Once you get them there, you've got to keep them. There are estimates out there. The Medical Group Management Association does one. They estimate that it would cost you about 150 to 200% of a employee's salary to replace them.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot, and it's about, you know, the recruitment costs, the downtime that when you don't have someone, are you bringing in temporary staff? And we've seen the explosion in temporary mm-hmm. nursing right now. Are you having to pay the new people more than you paid them? Are you having to pay overtime to cover that? So
when you're still having to train a temporary worker, which
yes,
is taking time away from someone else.
You're absolutely right. And they're not at the same capacity. So this phase is really about that professional development and education you're providing to them, and the communication, which is the key aspect of culture. You know, there are definitely people out there who will, you know, leave you for a quarter an hour or 50 cents an hour.
Right.
They're looking to make all they can, and, you know, I get it. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that are looking for somewhere where they can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And a happy employee is a lot less likely to leave you for a dollar an hour or a dollar and a half an hour when they stop and really think about, okay, is it worth it to me?
What that trade-off
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to give up what I know I have for what it is that I might get or might not get.
Right.
So, again, you know, once you get them, it really becomes about keeping them.
I feel like everyone is so busy right now. I know physicians and practice executives are no different, especially kind of going back to where we started, everything that they're trying to do to keep their practices afloat and care for their patients. It sounds like, and you kind of just hit on it, that recruiting is so important, and human resources can be very time consuming, especially on top of everything else that they're doing. What advice do you have to help them manage that process?
Well, When you look at it as a process, you begin to realize that there are key steps mm-hmm. that you have to hit for every employee. And while no two employees are the same, you do want to standardize the process.
Right.
If you build that checklist for yourself of, okay, this is what I need to be doing, this is how we're going to work through this, this is what, you know, a good recruitment, good retention, orientation, training, this is what these things look like. It makes it a lot easier for you to not miss something and not let something fall through the cracks. You have to listen to your employees. No one knows their job better than the people doing it. You don't go ask the people at the front desk, you know, how the physician wants his or her exam room set up.
Right, sure.
So talk to your employees. I think you will find that if you've created the right environment for them, which is about paying attention to culture, that they'll give you a lot of great feedback, that they'll be able to help you with that and develop relationships. And when I say develop relationships, I don't mean that you have to be best friends with all of your employees.
Sure.
That, you know, that brings its own set of problems and challenges as
yes,
well,
it does.
Too.
Yes,
so,
it does.
So, you know, we've all been burned and learned that lesson. But You do want to know something about them. You do want to, you know their names, know something about their family, know what's important to them.
Well, everything you've just said helps people feel valued too, which kind of leads to you're learning more to hopefully help recruit, but also it helps keep your current employees, it feels like, at least.
You're absolutely right.
Well, I feel like I'm hearing you talk a lot about some challenges, though, as well, especially where we started at with just the cost right now of everything and kind of where we are since the pandemic. Talk a little bit more maybe about what you're seeing and what advice do you have for groups that are struggling with this whole process?
You know, the groups that are struggling are the groups that don't have a good process. Those are the groups that really haven't built the framework for their employees. They're reacting to a crisis instead of thinking, okay, what is it we need to do? How do we need to respond? And they're letting, you know, in the challenges of the day catch up with them. You know, in terms of practical advice, look at everything, put everything on the table. Look at the processes within the organization. It always just, you know, amazes me the things that we do in a medical office simply because we've always done it that way. This goes back to talking to your employees. What are their frustrations? Bring together, you know, a multidisciplinary team and say, okay, we're going to look at the flow of our office from the phone call, when they call to make an appointment, all the way through the time that we see them and we get the claim out the door. What are the redundancies we can eliminate?
Right.
If you can get rid of some of that stuff, that will not only alleviate staffing frustration, which is a good thing.
Right.
It also saves time. It makes you more efficient, perhaps might lessen some of the burden you need for staff there. everyone in the group ought to be working to the maximum of their scope of practice. You know, there are a lot of other duties that, you know, the front desk can take on, that the medical mm-hmm. assistants and nurses can take on. You know, what can you get off them so that physicians can see it? Figure out ways to be more efficient with the telephone. You know, this back and forth phone tag stuff takes time.
What kind of resources can SBMIC offer to our policyholders?
Well, the folks in our medical practice services department, we've got you know, a great group of people who've worked in healthcare for a number of years. And one of the new things that we've developed this year is I talk about standardizing the HR process, the mm-hmm. life cycle, is we've put together an HR toolkit, and it walks you through the life cycle of an employee, beginning with thinking about recruitment,
okay.
going through what does it look like to onboard them, what does it look like professional development, going through, you know, sometimes it's not always a good match. And there's information in our toolkit about how you do a performance improvement plan, because again, you need to figure out, is this an employee who can't do the job or an employee who won't do the job? And if it's because they won't, is it because they don't understand it? So some resources there. And then ultimately, if you ever have to cross that bridge, you know, there's a termination checklist in there, because that's one of the things that can easily be overlooked. So the HR toolkit, I'm sure we're going to link to it from
Absolutely.
The podcast today.
Yes.
I really encourage everyone to download it. You can use it as is, as a complete tool, or just pick the pieces and parts that work for
okay.
you. The folks in our MPS department, we have two people who are certified as HR specialists. They are available to answer your HR questions. We are always
That's great.
Happy to do that, tell you what we think, you know, outline options that we believe are available to you, and let you kind of choose your own path there. If you do have concerns about your operations, you know, are you being as efficient as possible? Are there opportunities on the revenue side that you're missing? We do operational assessments. We do revenue cycle assessments. We even can talk to you about your culture, about strategic planning. If you're looking for, you know, education for your staff, we've got a lot of webinars that are available on demand online. And of course, we can set up virtual meetings, or, you know, perhaps even schedule something as a live presentation for your staff that helps them, you know, either with their relationships with one another or building better relationships with patients.
It sounds like all of that would help physicians and practices save some time, because, you know, it takes a lot of education experience to know a lot of that stuff. And a lot of times I feel like we're so focused on everything else that it's hard to have time to focus on that. So it sounds like that's a great starting point for our practices.
Well, it is. And I think that's a good point. You know, we've gotten so caught up the last few years in this idea of patient experience
mm-hmm.
that we forget, if we have a positive employee experience, that's probably going to translate to a positive patient experience as well.
That's true. This has all been super helpful, and it's obvious how passionate you and SBMIC are about helping out the physicians as much as possible. Before we wrap up, though, is there anything else you want to talk about? I know we're going to link all of these resources in the show notes for today, but is there anything else you want to share?
Thank you, yes, and thank you for having me here today. I know HR can be overwhelming, and most practice executives would very likely tell you it takes the biggest bulk of their time. It's what they deal with during the daytime, and then they do the real job when everybody else is gone. But let me encourage everyone, break it down into manageable pieces. Do not mm-hmm. let problems fester. When you see someone who's, you know, not doing what they need to be doing, or, you know, you get wind of something, you know, the best thing to do is to be assertive and deal with it then, as opposed to let it grow into something else. Even if you think no one else is noticing, somebody else is.
Right.
Talk with your staff on a regular basis just to keep them apprised of what's going on. Ask them what they think can be done to improve operations. You know, they have a vested interest in this as well also. Get to know who they are. Find out what makes a difference for them professionally. What makes them tick? You know,
right.
We've learned during all of this too that people value different benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always about the money. As you think about recruitment, you know, you want your practice to look like an appealing place to work and get care. But you also want employees to believe that, and you want them to spread the word as well, too. They are your best advertisement. You know, you may not be able to give everybody everything it is that they want, but at least if you know where they are, what motivates them, and what you're dealing with, you can manage the expectations realistically and honestly.
Absolutely. That's great advice. Thank you so much for being here with us today. As we come to a close, as a reminder, we will link all of the resources in the show notes for today. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Practice Made Perfect. Listen to more episodes, subscribe to the podcast, and find show notes at svmic.com/podcast. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational purposes only and do not constitute legal advice. Policyholders are urged to consult with their personal attorney for legal advice, as specific legal requirements may vary from state to state and change over time. All names in the case have been changed to protect privacy.